In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Father Lenteri,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, good afternoon and happy Mother's Day to many of you. So, our program that we're carrying out is... You might even say an extension to the spiritual exercises. But even if you haven't done the spiritual exercises, the program will still can be very efficacious if we're open to it. It's actually very simple. We give a few talks the month of May. And then you have to basically be faithful to going to your Bible and opening up to the Acts of the Apostles and reading and meditating upon one chapter from the Acts of the Apostles every day for 4 weeks. And there happen to be 28 chapters in the Acts, so that's perfect because we got 4 weeks. And then after you finish that, I invite all of you, when you're meditating, to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, then to have what's called a revision, where you rewind that hour and then you see, what was God saying to you? What was God saying to you when you're doing that hour of prayer? Because this is a spiritual exercise. If you've ever read the textbook of the exercises, Ignatius says, meditation, contemplation, and other activities. So it's not a closed book. Spiritual exercises are much more extensive than meditation, contemplation, and other activities. So the spiritual exercises are very, very extensive, very extensive. However, the key is people are getting to know the exercises better and better. Eventually you might even get the textbook of the exercises, the translation by Poole, which will read the annotations. And annotation number 5 is Ignatius uses the word magnanimity. Magnanimity is the disposition of soul that we should try to have. Magnanimity is a compound Greek word, if you like languages, magna anima. Magna means great, anima means soul. Great solidness, if you want to be literal in the translation. A nickel and dime translation, you've got to be generous with God. Be generous. Okay, so you finish your first week. So, myself trying to discern what I feel is best for all of us. I try to pray over it and then I try to give the talk. I've already written about 5 or 6 different blog articles on the topic. I've always liked to... I never believe in cramming when I went to college, or I always believe good idea to be prepared before time, which is very unique, especially university. I like to be prepared 2 or 3 days before time. I never like cramming because goes in. It goes in and goes out quickly, but if you're methodically studying, you retain it better. Right? So I thought what I'd talk about today is I'd like to talk specifically about the Holy Spirit. So that'll be my topic today. Talk about the Holy Spirit. And you will notice that every chapter you read, you have a reference to the Holy Spirit. Have any of you gone to Mass yet today? Okay, what was the last... Okay, the first reading was the Acts, right? What was the last verse? Do you remember? Yeah, I'll tell you then. It says, okay, they went to Pisidian Antiochia. Barnabas and Paul were persecuted. They were expelled from there, and then they moved on to Iconium. But the last verse it says, the people there, they were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't remember that, but you know that was what the verse said. Okay, they're filled with joy, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That says a lot. If you're trained in Ignatian spiritual, you could spend a whole hour just on that. If you're trained well, filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's talk then about the Holy Spirit. As an oblate of the Virgin Mary, I like to talk about the Holy Spirit in His relationship to Mary. So that'll be my starting point, okay? And I've noticed in my life, whenever I promote Mary, she never fails me. As St. Bernard says, we can never say enough about Mary. So let's start off with that, and then I've developed a catechesis on the Holy Spirit. I wrote out a pretty long article in which we'll give you the handout, 25 different ideas on the Holy Spirit. We'll see how far we get, okay? And so I've written like a mini catechesis on the Holy Spirit that we'll give you afterward. We probably won't cover all of it, but we'll see how far we get. Okay, now the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I give so many talks. I think I gave this story there in St. Therese. I don't think I gave it here, but if I gave it, put up with me. Okay, years ago in this country, the charismatic movement became really strong. And I was involved in it a little bit. My mom was involved in it. Some of my younger siblings were involved in it. And you've heard of the charismatic movement, right? And we happened to be in the charismatic group of a priest that was probably about the best priest in the country that was overseeing it. And he actually ended up on EW10. I think he's passed away. His name was Father Ray Bork, O-M-I. Maybe you've heard of him. So we actually went with him back in the early 70s. You know? And the guy, he radiated holiness. He was the most gentle man in the world. He attracted young people like flies are attracted by honey. I mean, everyone loved the guy. And he set up ministries for the young people, visiting hospitals and prisons. He was giving teaching. And he kind of subdued the emotional part. He wasn't too strong on some of the gifts. He kind of calmed that down, which was good because you could get in danger if you're placing too much on the emotions. And he focused more on an intellectual approach. So we loved the guy, and he was great because I had siblings that were teenagers, and they were going there and getting a lot of... A lot of blessings from Father Ray Bork. It was the Natick Center in Massachusetts. So, One of the places where it seemed to really take off was Duquesne University. Okay? Duquesne. So they had a conference in Duquesne, and they culminated with the Mass. And there are thousands of charismatics there. So they decided to end with the Mass, and they couldn't get the people inside the university, so they had to celebrate the Mass in the stadium outside. Unfortunately, but this was providential also, that day it was a cloudy day in which the clouds were overshadowing or hovering over the stadium and the Mass. So they invited this Archbishop Cardinal from Europe to give the homily. And this was the essence of his homily. Now, it was getting cloudy, it was starting to drizzle, starting to rain upon these people. And he said, do you want to know the secret of union with the Holy Spirit? And people are listening. And he said, devotion and love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. In that moment, there was thunder and lightning, and the clouds disappeared and it stopped raining. Wow. Man. I love that story. And that's the whole focus of this conference this afternoon, is that if we want to have this invasion of the Holy Spirit, is going to come through Mary. And if you struggle with your prayer life, we all do, I promise you this. As they say in Argentina, con mano bajo fuego, no? I promise you, Mary will move you from desolation to consolation. And she works quickly. Try it. You have a holy hour, you're not getting anywhere, say a Hail Mary calmly. You're going to know Mary works quickly in the spiritual life. You're going to notice that desolation dissipates like dew on the morning grass, and it's gone. Believe me. From an oldie that has more experience than most of you, no? Take advantage of Mary's love and her power and her presence. So let's enter into this conference on the Holy Spirit related to Mary. Having in the background that story that I've just told you. Now in the Trinity, which is the greatest mystery of the Catholic faith, the Blessed Trinity, we believe in one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Mary has a very intimate relationship to the Holy Trinity. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. You can read this in Colby, as well as some of you have read a True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort. He mentions this in True Devotion. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. But Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, isn't it? Mary's the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. She is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, when that cardinal from Europe was preaching, you could see the natural reaction, the thunder, the lightning, and the disappearing of the clouds and the rain. St. Louis de Montfort also says, those who love the Holy Spirit flings himself into that soul. Jack, you ever play with a frisbee? You ever use a frisbee, Jack?
No?
Okay, well, I have. You mentioned the sport, I've done it. Not that I'm a professional. But I love to throw the frisbee. There's an art, you know, which you fling it. And it cuts through the air. Then if you're good, you can catch it behind your back or even underneath your legs. If you're a pro, no? But a frisbee, you fling a frisbee. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit flings himself into the soul that loves Mary. Okay? So if you want to have your frisbee fling end up in your soul, love Mary. Okay? And there the Holy Spirit is going to come to you in a very powerful way. Alright, so that's the mystery of Mary and the Trinity. So let's take the person of Mary. When is the first encounter between Mary and the Holy Spirit? No. No. Okay, the first encounter between Mary and the Holy Spirit is the Immaculate Conception. Okay? That's why you have to have a theologian explaining it to you, right? Okay, before the Annunciation, there in the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is the working of the Holy Spirit in Mary. Which means that Mary, what happened to her? She was preserved from the stain of original sin through the working of the Holy Spirit. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, what will happen in us? The more that we love Mary, the more she communicates to us the Holy Spirit, and the less we're going to be sinning. That's a beautiful fruit, isn't it? We're going to be sinning less. You want to get people out of, you want to get people out of sin? Get people out of sin? Place them in the hands of Mary. In the heart of Mary. Okay, another story. The most famous convert in the world is St. Paul. The most famous convert in the church is St. Augustine. The most famous convert in the United States, obviously, is Scott Hahn, right? From Steubenville, right? I mean, that's a very famous convert. Fascinating conversion, this man. If you've ever read through or listened to his life story, one of the things he said was when he was a Protestant, he was a Presbyterian pastor. And he said that he would visit bookstores to buy books. And one of our parishioners said, I think it was Dave Deaton, went into his house and he just had like thousands of books, no? And he probably read all of them too, no? Yeah. You go into my room, I have a lot of books. I look like a scholar, but I haven't read half of them, no? At least I look like a scholar, right? But every time he went into the bookstore, he felt this magnetic pull to go in the corner and look at the bad magazines. This would be like 45 years ago, before the internet took. He said he couldn't resist. You know, check out the Playboy, the Penthouse, you know, the girly magazines. He couldn't resist. Now, someone gave him a rosary. He's a Protestant. He prayed the rosary once, and he never went back to looking at those bad magazines. He was a Protestant. I love that story. Shows the power of the intercession of Mary related to the Holy Spirit. So the Immaculate Conception is the marvelous fruit of the working of the Holy Spirit in the soul of Mary. So what was the work is that the Holy Spirit preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. In our conception, what happened? We had the contagion, the stain of sin in the moment of our conception. Not in the case of Mary. A Protestant poet, maybe you've heard, maybe you've read some of Wordsworth, William Wordsworth. Mm-hmm. William Wordsworth, a Protestant, said of Mary that she is our tainted nature's solitary boast. Ah, I love it. Protestant. Our tainted nature's solitary. This is a famous English Protestant poet. All right. Then, moving on in the presence of the Holy Spirit and Mary, the next moment would be the Annunciation that you were mentioning. The Annunciation. So Mary's entering into dialogue with God through the Archangel Gabriel. The Archangel Gabriel greets Mary, the full of grace, then announces to her that she is going to be the mother of God. Okay, Mary, before making the decision, wants to clarify what's going to happen. Different than Zechariah, who was doubting, that was a doubt, Mary wanted to clarify what was happening because Mary had made a promise. What was the promise that Mary made? Mary made the promise of giving herself totally to God in perpetual virginity. That was her decision. So the angel says, Mary's going to be a mother. Well, how are you going to be a mother? Are you going to be a virgin and mother at the same time? That's impossible. But not with God. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. So the angel gives her a sign that her cousin, who is considered to be sterile, is already in her sixth month because nothing is impossible with God. Talking about St. Elizabeth. Because Mary had made a vow to God to give herself totally to God. Her mind, her heart, her soul, her body, everything. And once she's aware of that miracle and that God is going to respect her promise, what happens? Without human intervention, you have the word in Hebrew, the Shekinah. Shekinah means the overshadowing in which the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. And Mary conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit. You who have done this spiritual exercise with me, hopefully you remember that contemplation of the Annunciation. Go back and revisit it. What do you have? It starts off with the Blessed Trinity in heaven looking down. Go back and revisit it. Looking down and seeing the world where people are being born, they're sinning, they're suffering, they're dying, and Ignatius says they're going to hell. St. Ignatius. Being born, living, sinning, dying, and ending up in hell. God decides, the Blessed Trinity has a dialogue, they decide that they're going to remedy the situation. They decide that they're going to send a Savior. And the Savior is going to come through Mary. So there you have In the beautiful poetic words of Saint Bernard, all of heaven is awaiting Mary to give her consent. And Mary says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." And then God the Father sends his son from heaven to Nazareth, to the little house. Mary's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is conceived in the womb of Mary. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was the most important moment in the history of salvation. That moment. So Mary's yes, her consent, was the most important moment in the history of salvation. Then Jesus would complete it by his paschal mystery, or celebrate now his passion, death, and resurrection. But no incarnation, no paschal mystery. Jesus first had to be conceived and born. There's a lot in this. What next? The next moment of Mary's always filled with the Holy Spirit. So her whole life is an intimate union with the Holy Spirit. Her whole life. We're kind of like a roller coaster, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down. Welcome to Magic Mountain, you know. Or Knott's Berry Farm, anyway, right? Well, we're kind of like the roller coaster. Mary's like a rocket going right to the moon. Like the image? Huh? We're the roller coaster, right? Undulates, no? Whereas Mary is like a rocket going right to the moon. Without any interruption. So the next moment is this. If you've ever read classical literature, you will have read your Shakespeare. But also, you will have read a man named Dante. Yeah. At least you got one. Okay. So Dante's spiritual masterpiece. I remember in the university studying Dante. His political treatise was mediocre, but his writing on the Divine Comedy, nothing goes beyond that, except maybe Shakespeare. And you know what he does? In Purgatory, have you read his treatise on Purgatory, Alma? No? What he does is, Dante enters into Purgatory with the seven P's on his forehead. And these are the seven capital sins that have to be purged. So what Dante does, he'll present the capital sin and then the opposing virtue. And then how Mary practiced the opposite virtue. Check it out. Read your Dante. So, with respect to the capital sin of sloth, or laziness, the opposite virtue is diligence. And Mary exemplifies that in the visitation when it says Mary went with haste. You got it, David. Like it? I love that literary contrast. There you have sloth, laziness. The opposite is diligence. And Mary lived it out by moving in haste. Okay, let's apply this to our lives. If we're living in the Spirit, hopefully we're all living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is another way, that's the way the charismatics call it. But living in the state of grace, okay? That's more Thomistic, right? You're living in the state of grace. You're living in the Spirit. Okay, what's going to happen? All of you are going to receive inspirations. You hear me?
Yes.
You're all going to receive inspirations. And the more open, the more frequent they become, such that you become like hand in glove, that you're constantly corresponding positively to these inspirations, and then you become a mystic in motion, so to speak. Okay? A mystic in motion. How about that one, huh? But what happens to a lot of us, we receive an inspiration, and what do? Oh boy. That entails suffering in the cross. Lord, a little bit later. Yeah. Right? Hello? And then we put it off and we put off until later, and then what happens is there's a certain sadness that enters into our soul. And then what the Holy Spirit does is he recoils. The Holy Spirit es un caballero. What does caballero mean in Spanish? Caballero. Caballero means he's a gentleman. Which means if you say no, he backs off. He says you say yes, he draws closer. You say yes, closer. And closer. You say no, he backs off. I mean, the dynamic of the Holy Spirit is fascinating. He's so loving that he respects our freedom, our free will, that he's not going to force himself upon you. Because love demands freedom. We've got to be free. We're not robots, you know. Love is an act of freedom. But when we become so docile, I think one of the best examples of docility was something that you meditated upon this week, if you're doing your meditations, and it's Philip the deacon. Wow. And St. Stephen. You get two incredible examples of docility in St. Stephen, even more so dying, rather than capitulating to those who wanted to kill him. Then Philip, what do we see Philip? The angel tells Philip to go south. The Holy Spirit says, run up to that guy, that Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot, right? Then, says the Holy Spirit snatched him. Almost like you grab him by the hair, no? It had to be that. He grabs him by the hair and he puts him there in Azotus, heading to Caesarea. Incredible. So those are real models for us. I mean, it's embarrassing how we resist. Well, you see these men, once the Holy Spirit descends upon them, they're totally docile to the working of the Holy Spirit. We're on the way. In office, because the Holy Spirit inspires us to do things that will entail the cross. Entail the cross. And we simply don't want to carry the cross at times. Or we want a styrofoam cross with marshmallow on it. I mean, that's, or honey, no? Styrofoam with honey on it, no? Not a heavy wooden cross with nails in it, no? So there we have another movement of Mary and the Holy Spirit. So ask yourself, next time the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, are you going to drag your feet, say tomorrow, or go in haste? Some of you are thinking, let me think about it, Father. Okay. Let me think about it, Father. Huh? Go in haste. But look at the net result. You say no, there's a certain amount of sadness and desolation that descends within the depths of our soul. It's the way it is. Because we've resisted, may not be a sin, but we've resisted an inspiration that came from the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move on. The next, Mary arrives at the home of Elizabeth. A beautiful surprise visit. There are no emails or anything like that. No? Beautiful, beautiful surprise visit. So one of the most beautiful encounters where you see the Holy Spirit is when Mary greets Elizabeth. What happens there? St. John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary greets. The word was probably shalom. Shalom means peace be with you. And then the baby in her womb leaped for joy. According to St. Augustine, John the Baptist was conceived in original sin. But he was freed by the bonds of original sin by the words of Mary in the silent presence of Jesus within the womb of Mary. St. Augustine, yeah. So it's the word of Mary, and Jesus is in the womb of Mary, that John the Baptist is liberated from the bond of original sin. We want to be freed from sin. It will happen about through the power of prayer. Then the next movement is Mary opens up her heart and she says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Ever hear that? That's called the Magnificat. We pray it every night in evening prayer. But we see what we see here: freedom through Mary, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. Saint Pope Gregory the Great tells us this story. Pope St. Gregory the Great tells of a story of a married man that was taken by his enemies. And he was thrown in prison by his enemies, and his wife thought he was dead because he didn't return after a long time. So what his wife did was she offered a mass for him every day. No, once a week. And finally he was freed. But this is what he noticed. He told his wife, "I noticed that the chains that were shackling me, once a week the chains started to loosen. And it was every day that the Mass was being offered for him, the chains were loosened until finally the chains dropped from his hand and from his legs." So it was the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that liberated this man from that the chains of slavery. So we see in this encounter with Mary, we see Mary and liberating John the Baptist from sin by her words and by Jesus within her womb. But also we see Mary moved by the Holy Spirit to pray the Magnificat. So once again, if we really desire to go deeper in our prayer life, we turn to Mary. And she'll teach us to pray. Amen?
Amen.
She'll teach us to pray. Okay, we move from the visitation to Mary beneath the cross. Mary beneath the cross. The sorrowful mother. In this we see Mary is given the powerful gift of the Holy Spirit of fortitude. We have some mothers here. Imagine you're standing underneath the cross for 3 hours, seeing your son shed every drop of his blood. None of us would have that courage or strength. Mary did. Then his heart is pierced, blood and water come gushing forth. The opening of the side of Christ, the piercing of his heart. There we have a divine mercy. Then we move from there to the encounter of Mary and the Holy Spirit par excellence. And that's what we're preparing for now. We're preparing for Pentecost. So Jesus, before sending the apostles out to preach the word of God, tells them not to go right away, but to first go to the upper room. So in the upper room, Mary with the apostles is present there for 9 days and 9 nights. What are they doing to prepare for the Holy Spirit? Okay, there's silence. And if we want to have union with the Holy Spirit, we have to understand the value of silence. You have to appreciate silence. Pope Benedict XVI, when he came to the United States, to New York to visit the seminary of Dunwood, he said, one of the reasons why young people do not enter into the seminary is because they're bombarded by so many noises. Noise pollution, you might say. Bombarded by so many noises, and they cannot hear the voice of God. So it's silence. Also, it's penance. They're in there fasting. And then finally, it is a long period of prayer. 9 days and 9 nights in prayer. A 9-day retreat. Then we have the experience of the Holy Spirit par excellence. That is Pentecost. You have the building shaking. You got the powerful wind, and then you have the tongues of fire which descend upon the apostles. But it all was as a result of this powerful intercession of Mary. And the apostles were transformed into valiant soldiers of Christ. Men who are cowards, who denied Jesus. Now they get up and they preach, and every one of them except St. Peter dies as a martyr, shedding his blood for Christ. So there we have the Holy Spirit in the life of the Blessed Mother. The Holy Spirit in the Trinity. Mary is the daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son. She's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Now we have these various movements of the Holy Spirit in the life of Mary. Okay, let's move then from the Trinity to Mary. Let's move to the Church. What is the role of the Holy Spirit within the Church? The Church is the mystical body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the Church. We are the members of the Church. The Holy Spirit in the midst of the Church is the soul of the Church. The soul of the Church. And the soul is the life-giving principle of the Church. So the Church is enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move from the Church to us. What about us? We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit in the moment of our baptism. Baptism, we receive so many gifts. Not only are we liberated from original sin, but we become living temples of the Blessed Trinity. We become living tabernacles of the Holy Spirit in the very moment of our baptism. In the very moment of our baptism. With baptism, we also receive, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? You receive them not in confirmation, but to receive the moment of baptism. Can you name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? You got them. Okay, so good. Some of you have them memorized. Very good. Now we have to try to put them into practice, right? Okay, so the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Okay, that's good. Some of you have them memorized, which is very, very good. So wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. Okay, to show you how important these are, I'm going to give you an analogy that's taken from the, this is from the fathers of the church. You might feel it's somewhat outdated, but you can't go wrong with the fathers of the church. Okay, try to imagine that, okay, maybe you're living in the year 500, okay? You don't have all these modern technology as such. But they did have ships back then, okay? And rowboats and canoes. They had primitive forms of transportation back then. Okay, imagine a lake that's 4 miles in distance, and you have to cross that lake. So one of you say, "Well, okay, I think I'll swim it." Okay, good luck. Unless you're a really good swimmer, you're probably not going to make it. You're thinking, well, okay, maybe I'll use a canoe. Probably better than swimming, huh? You're wrong with your wife, okay? Then you think, well, maybe I'll use a rowboat. That might be more efficacious. Then you have an idea. How about a ship with 7 sails? Ever done any sailing? I've never sailed, but my parents have a home in New Hampshire overlooking Lake Sunapee. Okay? And when I would go home to visit my relatives, I'd always see these sailboats. Some of them never got off the dock. Others never got out of the water. Others were traveling very slowly, more in the water than in the sailboat. Others were moving at a slow pace. Others were moving at a pretty good clip. Then the experts, you could see those sailboats zip right across the lake. Zip! So you had those that didn't know anything about sailing, then you had the pros. So you have a sailboat. In the sailboat, you have a captain. You have the crew. Then you have 7 sails. 7 sails. What is the key to success in getting that sailboat across the lake? Yes, but you're not hitting the nail on the head. Okay, you have to know how to use it, but it all depends on. As I'm looking at those guys out there, it all depends upon north, south, east. Where was that wind coming from? Because once that wind is blown forcefully into those sails, those in the ship as well as the captain, they just have to hold those sails open. Just let the wind do the work. Got it? Okay. We're talking about a medieval image of a ship with the seven big sails, okay? So as soon as you can get that wind enter into those sails, then the wind is going to be doing all the work. Okay, interpretation. Interpretation is the lake or the river is the world in which we live, in which you can have rocky, you can have tempestuous days in which it's rough sailing. Okay, the ship is symbolic of your soul. That's your soul. Okay, the captain and crewman is your will. Okay, the wind is David, the Holy Spirit. The wind is the Holy Spirit of God. And the shore is, guess what? The shore is heaven. So we got that ship. You got your body, okay? You got your body. You got your ship. You got the captain. That's our will. And the crewmen would be the other virtues, okay? Faith, hope, and charity, the other virtues. And that wind. The wind is the Holy Spirit. And the seven sails are what? Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have to open up those sails and allow the Holy Spirit to blow impetuously, forcefully into those sails. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to operate in us. This is the key to holiness. It's the short path to holiness, is being aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and allow them to work forcefully in our lives. That's the shortcut to holiness. And I purposely spent a half hour talking about Mary because Mary is the one that will facilitate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through her prayers. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Opening up our those masts, those sails, so the Holy Spirit can take His powerful presence, enter in, and propel us. I'll tell you three prayers that I make to the Holy Spirit. They're very biblical. I made it today in my holy hour. Are you listening? Do you remember when the prophet Samuel, when he anointed David? Remember that passage? Kind of vaguely, huh? Okay, when Samuel anoints David to become the king of Israel after discarding his brothers. Okay, so he anoints him, and this is one of my favorite verses of the Old Testament. He said, from that moment, the Holy Spirit rushed on David. I love that. I often pray that the Holy Spirit will rush on Father Broom. Oh, I pray that, man. That's what I was praying this morning. Impetuously, powerfully. It says the Holy Spirit rushed upon David. Would that be a beautiful prayer that you pray that the Holy Spirit would rush upon you every day? Wouldn't that be a beautiful prayer? Beg the Holy Spirit to rush upon you powerfully. To blow you in the right direction. To propel you forcefully in the right direction. My second biblical prayer related to the Holy Spirit is once again related to the whole idea of wind. John chapter 21. When Jesus goes to visit the apostles and he walks through the cenacle it says that Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I pray that Jesus would breathe upon me the Holy Spirit too. Amen? Allow Jesus to breathe upon you the Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he gave them the power to forgive sins. Then the third is taken from Acts chapter 2, which I mentioned earlier, relating to Mary. Acts chapter 2, and that is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire. So beg fervently. The powerful wind, the breath of God, and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Beg for the wind, the powerful wind. Blow away all the debris, all the trash that's in our life. Blow it away. Blow it away. Like a tornado, like a hurricane. Blow it away. And allow the gentle breath of Jesus to enter into your heart. And the fire to burn away from us all that is not pleasing to God. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important. If you want to grow in holiness, you have to allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be operative in our lives. It could be that many of these gifts within us, they're dormant. Could be. I'm trying to wake them up, okay? They could be asleep. Now is the time to wake up these gifts, so we can become the great saint that God is calling us to be. And I'd like to teach you a short prayer that I formulated in Chile, South America, many years ago. And it's one of the easiest prayers to learn. And it's a summary of my whole topic this afternoon. It's a summary of my conference. And it's this. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Amen? Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Can you say that with me three times? Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day. Thank you. So you'll be able to, you'll get a handout. I was able to get through about 25% of the talk on this sheet. You can read it, and we'll follow up next week, okay? So there's going to be groups, right, Mary?
Yes, if they wait just a moment, I have announcements.
Okay, if you can just wait a minute, there's going to be an announcement, and then be able to break up into groups. We're a little bit less today because of Mother's Day, but we've already determined the places in which we'll be able to have our group sharing.